Dudes, welcome back to another episode of the Liberty Bigley podcast. I'm your host, Patrick McFarlane. How's everyone doing? I hope you're having a great week. I wanted to come back and record another episode and talk about how, well, first off, I wanted to talk about how grateful I am that everyone's listening to Liberty Bigley because, you know, I'm getting a decent amount of downloads on this, which is a little shocking to me because I guess, as I keep describing everyone on this show, you are the Liberty Weekly elite because you have done enough to inspect and get deep enough into Liberty Weekly and I guess are interested enough to get off the cuff more informal episodes of the podcast, which is always cool and makes me feel great. So thank you. And I recently found out that I guess you're going to be hearing some ads from Anchor.fm and my ridiculous, also off-the-cuff ad that I recorded just now. But if you are actually thinking about starting a libertarian podcast, which is what I, you know, likened it to the, you're going to get a double plug now, sorry. But I talked before about how I think that podcasting is kind of like pamphleteering during the American Revolution. So if you, I didn't talk about this in the ad, but if you want to influence other people's opinions instead of actually trying to talk to your friends and family and getting absolutely nowhere and trying to convince people in your personal life or sit them down to a real deep conversation, why don't you just forget about that? Forget about trying to influence your friends and family and banging your head against a wall and causing yourself discomfort and strife. Why don't you just start a podcast? Because, you know, you could start a crappy B-side libertarian ranty podcast where you off-the-cuff record episodes with no preparation and just a thought that's like a sliver in your mind that you want to work out. You could do that and you could get, you know, double digit downloads and triple digit downloads. And then you would have exponentially more people that would listen to your talk than if you just tried to do one-on-one with a bunch of people. So, you know, you could talk till you're blue in the face to two or three people, or you could get on Anchor.fm or another podcast platform and spew your thoughts to the internet and people will find you and people will listen to you. So, what's the better decision? Have peace of mind and reach more people or bash your head against a concrete block and, you know, destroy your own self personal well-being, your mental health. Anyway, so today I wanted to talk, sorry for that 3 minute introductory rant, but super convenient to record from my phone in my bed. I've been watching and listening to a lot of Tim Pool lately, and I'm interested to know if any of you in the audience listen to people that you disagree with maybe 40% of the time. And if you have media or podcasts that you consume that you disagree with on numerous occasions, but generally, you know, the gist of it is all right. And if you're not familiar with Tim Pool, he is becoming more and more of a icon, not an icon, but I guess a relevant figure in the world of YouTube politic pundits, I guess you could say. Maybe like Styx Hexenhammer or I don't know. Who's the guy who made his dog do the Nazi salute? Count Dankula, the intellectual dark web. Who is it? Carl Benjamin, right? He's the, what's his face? Yeah, that guy. The British guy who does the thing and is named after some ancient Sargon of Akkad. Anyways, Tim Pool is a journalist who did on-the-ground reporting, kind of hung out with Luke Rudowski of We Are Change and the guy who did Loose Change and Dan Dix, except Tim Pool is more of the mainstream, less red-pilled version of some people who are on the ground reporters who would you would think would be maybe a little more kooky, I suppose. But Tim Pool got famous. At one point, I understand he was living on a park bench during Occupy Wall Street, doing on-the-ground reporting from there. And he worked for Vice for some time, and then he built up this media empire, Timcast, Timcast News, Subverse. He's tried launching his own media company that would have been like Vice was, except back when Vice didn't suck eggs and spew liberal propaganda about social justice. But yeah, Tim's pretty cool. He describes himself as being, I mean, he's a milquetoast fence sitter, admittedly, under his own description, his own admission. But what I really think he is, it's becoming more and more clear that he really is like a classical liberal. And in a way, he's kind of black-pilled. And people have made fun of him for the fact that he's been predicting social upheaval and societal unrest because he's been on the ground in places like Egypt during the Arab Spring. I think it was during the Arab Spring, but he has witnessed actual third world unrest and overturning of governments before color revolutions, which may or may not have been influenced by the CIA. However, I think it would be hard to argue that what we're experiencing right now is not influenced by the CIA. So, shrug. But, well, anyways, so Tim Pool has been talking a lot about recently talking how the liberal media has become completely unhinged, quote unquote, moon landing conspiracy theorist level, unhinged, fanatic propaganda spewers, which, you know, okay, yeah, they are unhinged propaganda spewers. However, I wanted to look at the silver lining, and maybe it's not that great of a silver lining that comes along with the mainstream media, the leftist mainstream media completely going unhinged conspiracy theorist in regards to Donald Trump's COVID-19 diagnosis and the fact that Donald Trump, you know, he's pretending to be okay, but he's really on his deathbed. And they've been, this is, Tim Pool's covered this in the last few days. And usually when I'm getting ready for work and much to my wife's chagrin, I think she's used to it by now. However, I'll put, you know, Tim Pool or Dave Smith or somebody on the Bluetooth speaker I have in the shower and kind of listen to it as I'm getting ready. But in the last couple of days, of course, since Monday, Tim Pool was talking about how Donald Trump has emerged from and beaten coronavirus, and the leftist media is on an unhinged moon landing conspiracy theorist level, just frantic manic episode about how Donald Trump has and his staff have manipulated video footage of him, and they've photoshopped it and edited it to make it look like Donald Trump actually isn't sick at all. They've edited out coughs, and he's really dying on his deathbed, and they've put like a, I don't know if this was a real claim that they had made, but they did like one of those deep fake videos with a facial swap, and the reflection doesn't make sense on the desk with his face and everything. And yeah, so I wanted to look at the silver lining because Tim Pool was maybe rightly so widely condemning all of these mainstream media pundits and reporters who claim to be objective journalists, outwardly claim to be objective journalists, but jump on any conspiracy theory bandwagon that suits their political agenda and pushes this propaganda. However, wouldn't it be nice? This is the silver lining here. Wouldn't it be nice if the mainstream media actually used this critical conspiracy theorist lens to take a look at real problems in the world or real fishy events? And Tim Pool also, you know, I don't know if he went out of his way, but he took a swipe at 9/11 truthers, and rightly so. Kind of, you know, if you listen to the show long enough, you know that I'm a 9/11 truther in a certain sense. However, he was saying that there was some merit to 9/11 truth in the sense that, okay, well, at least you're taking an eye to question your surroundings and to take a deeper look at something. And it seemed like he had made this distinguish between what 9/11 truthers were, and maybe he was a bit harder on them, but he was, I don't know, he was kind of going off on people who would think that the moon landing was faked because they're unhinged. There's a difference between healthy skepticism and being unhinged. And that was something that he implied in his condemnation of these mainstream media pundits who are going after Donald Trump. And it's interesting that a milquetoast fence sitter like Tim Pool would be so pro-Trump right now, even though, you know, I don't know. This is an aside, but I prefer Trump over Biden. However, I don't know if that has my preference for Trump over Biden would make me vote and go against some personal beliefs that I have, even though I don't condemn anyone for voting. I've thought about who I would like to vote for, whether it be, you know, Trump, or if I want to hold my nose and vote for, well, hold my nose and vote for Trump because I prefer Trump over Biden, or hold my nose over the misgivings that I have with Joe Jorgensen as a candidate and vote for the Libertarian Party to try and get above 4 or 5% to get federal funding, even though, you know, Joe Jorgensen's views align a lot more with my own than any of the other candidates in terms of ending the drug war and bringing the troops home and ending international conflict and switching to a free market healthcare system. However, she packages that all into this social justice kind of wrapper that I just, of course, despise. So take that what you will. However, kind of lost my train of thought, but going back to the original thought is that this whole Donald Trump situation where these reporters, wouldn't it be nice if they took this conspiracy theorist lens and actually deeply analyzed things that really mattered? And of course, they would probably counterpunch saying that whether Donald Trump is faking his coronavirus deathbed is something that really seriously matters. But even if it's unhinged lunacy in terms of really trying to inspect videos that are coming out from the president and making all these assumptions about reflections that don't make sense on the glass and editing out coughs and, you know, fill in the blank here, wouldn't it be nice if they turned a critical eye and examined the gas attacks in Syria and see if Assad really did try to gas his own people? Or wouldn't it be great if they, you know, deeply analyzed any signs that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction? Or if they really deeply analyzed whether or not Iran was violating the nuclear deal? Or if they really analyzed what Hillary Clinton was doing in Libya? I mean, seriously. And whether it's unhinged conspiracy theory or not, if they actually took that lens and focused in on things that actually mattered, wouldn't that be nice? And maybe it's just being a naive person such as myself, an idealistic, naive person, but rather than having an unhinged media, it would be nice to be in that situation. So, well, that pretty much encompasses the thoughts I wanted to share here. Thanks so much. A little preview here for the next Liberty Weekly episode is that, yes, I need to schedule another episode with Keith Knight, and I hope you enjoyed my return to form with Keith Knight and his return to the show. It's been getting a pretty good reception. I started another Twitter handle, which I deleted Twitter because it was driving me mentally insane. But I should not have deleted my account, and I regret that because I had over 4,000 or 5,000
Twitter followers, but I started another account. I think I have about 38 followers, but it's been hard for me to regain the following of the quote unquote bigger libertarian figures that used to follow me. And I know they know who I am. But you know, I don't know how to put a flag up and get them to follow me back. So I'm sure time will tell and they'll follow me again. But interesting behind the scenes story is that, go and follow me, twitter.com/ Liberty_Weekly. And my Twitter handle used to be Liberty Weekly, but there's some libertarian podcast, which this doesn't go against what I've always been saying about libertarian podcasts and how you should have one and how you should have one through anchor.fm. But there's some Liberty podcast that is titled something weird about the Weekly Liberty Report or something or other. Point is that their handle is at Liberty Weekly, which was my old handle. But when I deleted my account, it became available and they took it, which is fine, intellectual property and all, but they don't use it. And that Twitter handle doesn't make sense given what their name is. So if you go to twitter.com/ Liberty Weekly without the underscore, you'll see what I'm talking about. And I don't know, maybe you could help me out and tweet at them. They haven't made any tweets. They follow like 3 people. And based off, they don't accept DMs, but based off my tweeting at them and asking for my old handle back, they haven't responded. And maybe this is just something completely stupid and I should just forget about it, but it'd be nice. I'm so anal in the sense that I'd like my Instagram handle and my Twitter handle and all my social media handles just to be at Liberty Weekly and not at Liberty_Weekly. So wouldn't that be nice? Anyways, so I'm back on Twitter. Follow me at Liberty_Weekly, and still trying to post some spicy memes and whatnot. So Instagram too, like, share, subscribe, tell other people about the Liberty Bigly podcast. It'd be super cool. And share the show, Liberty Weekly podcast, libertyweekly.net. Find me on all major podcatchers. Please give me a rating or review for any of these shows. And shout out to Lee, who's been a loyal listener of the Liberty Bigly podcast. Send me an email lately. I really do appreciate that. I appreciate everyone who listens to the show. It really warms my heart. So thanks so much. You are the Liberty Weekly elite. And check me out on Patreon. There's actually some bonus content there of my interview with Keith Knight, some behind the scenes extras. So check that out. Hope you're having a good week. Share this episode, subscribe, all that good stuff. Thanks. Peace.